Tonight, the moon is full and the woods are restless. Creepy Ken and Ghost Joe sink their teeth into the legends of dogmen and werewolves. This episode prowls the line between folklore and fear. So lock your doors, check your silver, and tune in, because something is barking at the moon.
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. I'm Ghost Joe.
And I'm Creepy Ken.
And yeah, man, as I always say, I guess, we do have a great show for you guys. We do great shows, I think. I think our shows are pretty cool.
Yeah, we do great shows.
I think so. Yeah.
Anyway, so what are we going to talk about tonight?
I don't know. Didn't you think of something? I thought you were going to
pick. Don't tell anybody. We're going to do Dogman.
You said Dogman?
Yeah, Dogman.
Man, okay. And actually, we'll also touch on something else that's, I guess, similar or in the same family, or, you know, we're going to go into some werewolves too. And but my thing is, why are they werewolves when it's W-E-R-E, wolves? Wouldn't that be werewolves? Is it werewolves or werewolves?
Hey, we're wolves. Yeah, you're right. They need an apostrophe. And they forgot it.
And also, which teen wolf was your favorite? With Michael J. Fox or with the other guy?
The first one.
Of course. Yeah. Michael J. You can't beat Michael J. Fox in anything.
No.
Michael J. Fox is the GOAT, bro.
I thought I was a teen wolf when I was like 7 years old. I wasn't even a teen yet, but I swear I was a werewolf. I'm not kidding you.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get that.
I was shitting in the backyard and everything.
See, you caught me off guard with that one. You definitely caught me off guard. It's too early in the show.
Sorry. I still do it every once in a while.
Just to, for old time's sake, you just. Oh, man. Yeah, so I guess you could start with this one, because this is Ken is the cryptid guy. Ken is the cryptid guy. So we're gonna give Ken the floor in a lot of this episode. So go for it, man.
Sounds good. So yeah, dog man, werewolf, whatever you want to call it. To me, it's kind of all the same thing. A couple nuances. I think werewolves actually transform, right? And I think Dogman is its own entity. Like, I think it's just what it is. So dogmen are one of my favorite things. You know, growing up in Ohio, it's really, really rich in history up there. For some reason, whatever reason, these things tend to take place more in the Northeast. Some down here, we have a couple of, sightings down here, in South Carolina as well. But yeah, Dogman, I mean, it's an eerie bipedal canine like creature, typically portrayed as 7 to 8 feet tall. You know, it's got a humanoid torso and a dog or a wolf like head. It's said to have dark fur, glowing amber or blue eyes, and emits a howl that's more akin to a human scream than an animal bark, which is creepy. The whole thing is creepy, right? And as far as I know, other than maybe one case that is really famous, these things really haven't harmed humans, other than one case that I'll talk about in a little bit. But people tend to say that they get this ominous feeling right before they see it, and you know, they can't control it. It gives off like a, I forget what they call it. With Bigfoot, they call it something. What the hell do they call it? Joe, help me out here. They say, bears and sharks and all that give it off too. I forget what it's called. It's like a sonar type thing that gives you this feeling of what it's designed to do in predators is, basically paralyze its prey. So it's kind of cool. I forget what they call it. They have a word for it. And I just don't have it right now. Because it's been a while since I've used a big word. So I'm not going to try. But I'm going to go over a couple of the very famous cases that I know of. And I think to start out, one of the most famous cases is the Beast of Bray Road in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. You know, real rural stretch of road. And in the 1980s, there was countless witnesses that reported seeing something terrifying in the woods there. It was a hawking. How do you say it? Hawking. It was a hawking wolf-like creature stalking in the fields. And they said it was even chasing cars, and they called it the Beast of Bray Road.
Wow.
Yeah, the first encounter started in like 1989, went on to 1991. Locals claim sightings back decades, but that's when it was brought to the forefront. And I think that it was brought to the forefront with, I think it was Linda Godfrey, who first did the real digging on the Beast of Bray Road in 1991. She wrote a book, went in there. I don't know if you know who Linda Godfrey is. She was an investigative journalist, and she kind of specialized in cryptids, and she was big. She had a big case on HBO. It was a UFO case where she did this whole documentary for HBO on UFOs, and she's really, really in the game is what I'm trying to say. Right. And, people were seeing this 6 to 7 feet tall, dark brown, basically looked like a werewolf walking on two legs. It would drop down to all fours. Sometimes had glowing eyes. It was very muscular, part wolf, part man, they said. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of where the start of it kind of happened. That's the big case is what I'm saying. There were some other cases, like you had the Michigan Dog Man, I think the Michigan Dog Man's a little bit different. And there's some craziness with that. I've never been quite able to get over with the Michigan Dog Man. There's a tape circulating out there with the Michigan Dog Man in it. I don't know if you've ever seen the footage from that. It's BS.
I never have. No.
It's BS. Don't watch it. It's not worth it. It was totally, you can tell it's not a real thing, but, Michigan is another spot. So that whole north area there bordering Canada and then down the coastline, for whatever reason, it's real big, on Dogman. So the Michigan Dogman was described as well. It's a 7 foot tall wolf like creature walking upright on two legs. It had piercing blue eyes, human torso, kind of just like the Beast of Bray Road. And sightings there date back to 1887. There were two lumberjacks in Wexford County that reported a creature that looked like a man with a dog's head that began stalking them in the woods. That legend kind of gained traction in 1987. Thanks to a novelty song called The Legend by Traverse City DJ named Steve Cook. Now, remember that name, okay? Steve Cook, because I have questions about this.
Okay.
So Steve Cook, his song told stories of dogman encounters. And to his surprise, people began calling into his radio show, because he was a DJ, with their own terrifying experiences. Hunters, hikers, even police officers. They all were describing the same thing. So his song kind of sparked it. You know what I mean? He's Dogman's fast and silent and extremely intimidating. Some claim to see it dart across roads there. It paces in the tree lines. It follows him through the woods. You hear deep growls. You see the glowing eyes, you know. A lot of skeptics, they chalk it up to mistaken identity, of course. They say it's a large wolf or a bear. But, I mean, how many large wolves do you see walking around on their hind legs that are 7 feet tall? You know, not too many. And
sounds like one of my ex-girlfriends.
Was she a bear or a dog man?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
So, yeah. So the thing with Steve Cook that got me is there is a group out there, a rather large group, called the North American Dogman Project. Okay. And the guy who started that group is Jody Cook. I know Jody Cook. I've spoke to him several times. He's an Ohio guy. I even had him on my old show. Real good dude. But I never really put it together that Steve Cook is the one that started this story and Jody Cook is the one that runs North American Dogman Project. I wonder if they're related there. It's interesting to me.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we actually have an audio clip that we're going to play in a little while from a man that's very well versed in Dogman and as well as Bigfoot and some other cryptids and paranormal stuff. So we're going to play that in a little bit as well. And he's part of a Dogman organization as well. So we're definitely Al Santariga. I've had him on the show actually twice, and awesome guy. Awesome guy. So he was gracious enough to send us a voicemail of his encounters with Dogman.
Sweet.
So, yeah. So we're going to play that in a little bit.
So growing up in Ohio, you know, we have lots of cornfields there and lots of cow pastures and lots of farmland. I had a friend that this is probably why I'm so into Dogman. It's my most favorite cryptid. Because first of all, I don't think it gets much more terrifying than being stalked by a large bipedal wolf with the body of a bodybuilder. You know what I mean? It's pretty damn terrifying, dude. I mean, I'll fight things, but man, I don't know if I'm gonna fight that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna think twice about that.
Right.
That thing is, like I said, it's got bigger teeth than me. I'm out. And that thing definitely has bigger teeth than me. So, but I had a friend who used to walk home and we lived out, you know, he would come over and, you know, we'd do our kid stuff and then he would walk home. He lived, I think about a half a mile, I'd say down the road from me. And, he'd have to walk past cornfields all the time. And yeah, one time he told me he wasn't coming over anymore. And I was like, why? He's like, I saw this big dog out in the cornfield. He's like, I'm like a big dog. So you're not going to, you know, come over anymore because there's a big dog out there. And he's like, no, this thing was like walking on two legs. He's like, it creeped me out. I'm not ever doing that again. He said he ran all the way home. He said he was so tired. He collapsed when he got on his front porch and was just screaming for his mom and his dad to come out. He said it chased him all the way home. He said it didn't really chase him because he knew this thing could catch him if it wanted to. And that's what was even more terrifying about it is it just kind of sat back just enough to scare the crap out of him all the way home, you know? And I think
that's crazy.
My theory on these things is that's what they're after because they don't really, other than one case that's well known that I know of, they don't really harm you, but they're kind of, oh, how do I put it? They live off that fear. That's what they're after. Is that fear in you? That's kind of my theory is they just scare the living shit out of you just enough for you. And they feed off of that. They're fear feeders. That's a good way to put it, you know? And that's what they live off of.
You know, it's funny too, because, you know, all the other encounters with like Bigfoot and other, and some other cryptids, it's kind of the same thing. Like they don't, there's not really any reports of them attacking anybody, maybe chasing somebody or, you know, like growling at somebody or whatever, but there's never been any reports of any of these cryptids really going after anybody, you know, cause I guess maybe, you know, that they're in their element. And if you're in their house, you know, if you're in the woods, that's their house, you know, that's their territory. They don't want you there.
Yeah.
You know, so they're trying to get you away from them and away from their house. You know, a lot of these cryptids, you know, you could say Dogman, but who's to say that Dogman or, you know, the male species or whatever doesn't have a family of dog, dog, dog people, dog,
dog things, dog,
dog,
a pack.
Yeah. Okay. Dog pack. Yeah. Okay. I could go with that. Yeah. I could go with that. Yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty incredible, especially, I mean, yeah, I'd probably say Dogman is probably one of the most terrifying. If I were to see a Dogman on one side of me and a Bigfoot on the other side, I'd probably try and run more towards the Bigfoot than the Dogman. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the Dogman is definitely, I mean, just from the description alone is terrifying.
Yeah, man.
You know,
and you know, there are encounters out there of Dogman and Bigfoot being spotted at the same time. And the consensus out there is that the two do not get along. Bigfoot does not mess with the Dogman, and Dogman kind of is like king in that area. You know what I mean? Like, cause they're just, I don't know, dude, how do you mess with that? You know what I mean? Like it's almost as big as a Bigfoot.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing too, though. I mean, we've been hearing about Bigfoot for so many years, but Dogman is still kind of like new to us, you know? So you wonder how long, if, you know, let's play this in the realistic way, you know, if Dogman is for real and is really out there, how long has that species actually been out there?
See,
you know,
I would argue with you on that. I would say Dogman has been around way longer than Bigfoot. Only
so
how many times
because have they been misidentified? Because of the werewolf?
No. I mean, well, you have the werewolf. You have the what is it? The over in ancient Egypt. You got the what the hell is that thing called? Oh, now you're gonna make me type on my actual computer.
Look it up.
Sir. Yeah,
look it up, man. That's cool.
Oh, Anubis, man.
I've heard of Anubis. Yep.
Yeah, Anubis is an ancient Egyptian god of the afterlife, who's depicted as a man with the head of a jackal or a canine.
Wow.
I mean, so if it's been around that long, what if Anubis is really the same thing as what we're seeing now? It's just now, you know,
it's like evolved.
Yeah. Maybe. Or just now we're just reporting it more because we have better means of doing it, you know?
Right.
And then on the other hand, how many times have people had Bigfoot encounters and it's actually been Dogman encounters or vice versa?
Yeah, no, it's true.
Because I mean, they're really similar in stature. They're similar in size. It's, you know, crazy.
And it also goes back to the eyewitness testimonies too. You know, people don't always get things right, you know, like especially when they're scared, you know, you see something big and hairy standing on two legs and it looks angry at you. You might miss a few details, you know, of that, you know, or you might just automatically assume, well, I don't know, you know, most people don't even know what a Dogman is or have ever even heard of a Dogman, you know, so they might just go with, oh, well, it's got to be a Bigfoot, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, they got to have been misidentified and stuff with that too.
I think a lot of these cryptids get misidentified with each other. I really do think that.
Sure. Like,
There's a famous one here in South Carolina, Lizard Man. You know, sure. I 100% wholeheartedly think that was a Bigfoot that was misidentified. It came out of the swamp. Okay. It looked like it was nighttime. So it looked like scaly skin, but it just came out of a damn swamp. It's soaked. It's wet. It stinks. You know,
yeah.
Like that could easily be a Bigfoot, you know, same size basically. So,
wow.
I mean, yeah. I don't know, man, but I'll tell you what, there is no shortage of eyewitness reports. There's websites out there, you know, you got the North American Dogman Project that's what they do. They investigate these encounters, you know?
Absolutely.
So one of my favorite, of course, and near and dear to my heart is the Silver Creek Dogmen, which I just did a TikTok on. So be watching. I think it's already out, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. So Silver Creek, my family and I have spent plenty of time in Silver Creek, mostly because of my infatuation for Dogman and trying to see him. Silver Creek is in Ohio, and it's in a metro park. cool place. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Like I said, it's inside of a metro park. And there are lots of whispers and hushes there that, like, for instance, they built a guard shack there in the, not a guard shack, but a ranger shack there in the metro park. And rumors are that if you try to talk to the park rangers about Dogman, Silver Creek incident, they just shut you down. They don't know what you're talking about.
Wow.
And that's BS, because everybody around that area knows about the Silver Creek incident. There's lots of rumors, like there are underground tunnels there and rail areas that used to be rail, underground railroad, not like, you know, the slave thing, but underground rail tunnels and passages for mining and stuff. That they say that could be why these things disappear so easy is because they're using those tunnels as home, which is pretty interesting. But yeah, the area is crazy, and it, especially the Chippewa Loop Trail is where they're sighted the most. They're sighted running across the road, driving down the road, but the Chippewa Loop Trail is the creepiest one out of all of them. And I can speak out of experience that being there, it's, you get a different feeling. It's charged different than a normal place. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means there's a, you know, one of the theories is just like the Bigfoot theory, these things are coming from a different dimension. Maybe that's true, because I will tell you that you go there and, you know, there's definitely a difference in atmosphere in that Chippewa Loop Trail. Your hair kind of stands on end, like you were creeped out, even if you didn't know anything about it. You know, it's just a different feeling there. But yeah, they see packs of these things running, and you know, they instill such a fear inside of a human that you can't even control yourself. You know, there people have reported, you know, soiling themselves at the sight of these things. So, and you know, rightfully so, I probably would too if I've seen that.
I mean,
out there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, you see this gigantic dog thing. I mean, I can't even imagine. And that might be a good segue to play the voicemail. Actually,
let's do it,
because
let's
Al Santariga, the Squatch Father himself, had some crazy experiences with Dogman that he shared with us. And he's going to share with you guys. So check it out.
Hi, everybody. This is Al Santariga from the Bronxville Paranormal Society. I'm also the director of the New York State Sasquatch Organization, the New York State UFO Project, and the New York State Dogman Project. I'm also Region 3 director of the North American Dogman Project. My first Dogman experience happened to me on the Taconic Parkway, going south around 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. One time I was driving to work and I seen two large creatures coming out from the wood line, walking along a field, the meadow, where I noticed a deer always graze in the morning. They were pretty tall. I thought they were Sasquatches until they dropped down on all fours and started to run across the field as though they were tracking gear. I noticed at that point that their necks were low, like German Shepherds, and that Sasquatches don't have a neck. And as I sat there on the parkway in the dark watching them in my Jeep, I rolled down my window. You got a better look at them, because my window on my Jeep was tinted, when they stopped and they noticed me. And when they stopped and noticed me, they both looked at me and our eyes locked. And it felt like I was being put in a trance. They turned and they started running towards me. And I just sat there idling, watching them run towards me for a minute or two, when the little voice in the back of my head said, that would be a good time to leave. So I rolled up the window and I punched out the Jeep. And as I took off, I hit the brakes just to see if they were still chasing me down the parkway. And they had stopped and they had turned and headed north up the parkway, I guess, tracking deer. At that point, I started to notice in that particular area, there was a New York State Jeep there. I don't know what agency it was. I don't remember the name of the agency, but there was a Jeep there. But I never seen anybody in the Jeep. I would go to work, and the Jeep would be there. And then I'd come home, and I'd see the Jeep, and nobody would be there. And about halfway through the week, the Jeep had changed to a pickup truck. Again, a different, like, environmental agency pickup truck. But again, I never seen anybody in it. So I decided that I was going to go back that Sunday on my day off and research the area. I thought I knew it pretty well. There was a little school there and a condo complex and stuff. But I went down and I went into the woods where I seen these creatures come out of. And I measured the distance between the ground and the branches on the trees that were cut so that the tractors could get underneath them and cut the grass. And they were cut at the 9-foot mark. And these creatures were probably right there. Then I went down into a gully where there was a stream. And I noticed people were fishing. I asked them, and what were they fishing for? And they said, this time of year, the state filled the stream with trout. So then I followed the stream underneath the roadway. And I came across a lake that had fish and frogs and turtle and geese and ducks on it. And I kept going west towards my house, actually walking back towards my house. And when I passed the condo complex, behind the condo complex was a giant cornfield. And to my surprise, there was plenty of food in this one particular area for these creatures to hunt and survive on. So then my next encounter happened. I'll give you an abbreviated version of it. We were doing a investigation in the woods. We were up on a high ridge, and at one point, we heard something charging up the ridge behind a black, 4 foot high, a 3 foot high stone wall. As we turned to see what was charging up the ridge at us, we didn't know what it was. Wasn't sure if it was a black bear or a mountain lion. We got in the triangle formation, me, my cameraman Bill, and my tech guy Brian, and they pulled out their machetes, and I pulled out my survival knife. I was closest to the wall, and whatever this was charging up the ridge at us came right up to where we were, but never came over the wall. I had a little digital camera hanging around my neck, and I took one photograph of where I got whatever this was at. And in the photo, you could see a dogman head, a blockhead with pointy ears, nose, and eye shine, lifting us over the wall. When the dogman turned and left, we jumped over the wall to get a better look. We never heard the dog then actually walk back down the ridge or jump off the ridge into the swamp. We went back to investigate, and we found a dog man then in the swamp, middle of the swamp, with a couple of dog men in it. While a big wolf-like head, it was definitely an alpha, and then there was a smaller one that had like a hyena head, I believe, which was the one that Bluff charged, but I think it was the female. And she was looking at us, and she was snarling at us in the picture. She was not happy that we found her again. And I'll leave it at that, but there was many more experiences after that. Okay. Have a good night, everybody. Ciao.
Yeah, man. So what'd you think about that? Al's experiences were pretty amazing. I mean, just to be that close to a dog man, and he had happened to see, you know, a dead one. And I mean, it just, some of those experiences are just absolutely mind blowing. I don't know.
Some people have all the luck, man, I guess.
You know? I know.
But man, then again, are you lucky if you get to see that? Like, are you? Because I don't know. Like, I would want to see it, but do I? You know?
What's funny, too, though, is that the first experience that he had told about, where he said that he was on the Taconic State Parkway South, I take that same road to work every single night. And I know exactly what he's talking about. He said that on this one stretch of road, there's like these deer that are always on the side of the road that are, you know, that are always like around over there. And I always notice those deer over there. So I guess now I have to just look for dog men, I guess, you know?
Yeah, might as well.
You know, and also up near me, there's been UFO sightings and pine bushes right near me, which is the, you know, the eastern capital of UFOs and all sorts of things. So I got a lot to look for, man, you know, especially since I work at night. So it's like I'm always driving in the dark, you know, going on there. I'm always looking at the sky. I'm trying to look at the, you know, I want to see something, man. I want to see something, and I'm going to stop them, and I'm going to be like, yo, can you take a selfie with me? You know, like I want a selfie. I don't want to just take like a blurry picture, you know. Bigfoot loves his blurry pictures. I don't want a blurry picture. I want to have like a nice, you know, selfie picture of me and the dog man and me and Bigfoot. You know, I don't think that's too much to ask.
I don't either. I don't either, man. I don't either. Oh, snap. Yeah, it would be cool to have that experience, but I guess it wouldn't be so cool probably in the moment, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm saying all that now, but, yeah, I'd probably see that and be like, wait, what is that? And it's one of those things where you're like looking really, really close and you're like, holy crap, yeah. You know? And then you're just like, nope, yeah. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say we, you know, we did, you know, this was basically a dogman show, but we didn't really mention too much about werewolves. You know, you had said that they were pretty much one and the same. And I definitely agree with you because the dogman is probably just the modern version of a werewolf, only just without the human turning into a dogman, you know? But the, with werewolves, did you know that in the 16th and 17th centuries, that fear of werewolves spread across Europe, leading to wolf trials, like the witch trials?
Yeah.
I mean,
and they last longer than the witch trials did.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And people had believed, you know, that there were people and accusing people of being werewolves.
They still believe that in some parts of the world. They still believe that.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. And some of these people that were accused were tortured and executed over people thinking that they were werewolves. Or maybe people knowing that they were werewolves. Who knows, you know? But there are a lot of cases of werewolves. And it's funny, too, because it kind of makes sense. Because a lot of the werewolf lore is from long ago. You know, and you don't hear about werewolves anymore. You hear about dogman. So it kind of makes sense that it's like a natural progression or like an evolution.
Well, yeah. I mean, do it this way. Like, I think everything kind of does that, you know. For instance, years ago in Scotland, Ireland, England, you had the Fae folk, right? And the Fae folk were, abducting people, abducting children. If you don't step into a fairy ring, you don't, you know, leave your child unattended because the fae folk will take it, you know, as their own. You don't do that. People were, you know, disappearing because of these fae folk. If you put that in perspective of today, right, you don't hear too much about the fairies or the fae folk anymore. But now you hear about aliens, okay? Aliens are doing the same exact shit that the fae folk were doing back then. Only now we call them aliens, you know?
All right.
So who's to say that back then people were seeing dogman, but they had no explanation for it. So they picked the one asshole in town that was causing trouble and said, you know, we saw you turn into a wolf, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to try that. No, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe. That's probably not a good idea. Did you actually know that there was a recent wave of werewolf sightings or dogman sightings that happened in Western Pennsylvania? Shenango Valley, where locals had reported encounters with a large wolf-like creature, with glowing eyes and unnatural speed. And these reports were compelling enough to spark a whole new documentary called Werewolves on Earth. And that was released in October 2023. And it investigates these claims through interviews with witnesses and experts and stuff. So, I mean, just the fact that that's so recent, mm-hmm. you know, that these things could have happened. And again, there's a lot of people that see things that are like, nah, I'm not telling nobody about that, or I'm not going to report that. People are going to think I'm crazy, you know, and that's why, Ken, we have that section on our website, warpedrealityparanormal.com. Where you could submit your paranormal experience, and you don't have to put your name. It could be anonymous. You don't have to put your email address, or do you have to put your email address? I don't think you do.
You can, but we won't ever see it, even if you do. So even if it makes you do that, we will never see your email address. That's just a Google security thing. So I think it does make you put it in or sign in with Google. But we don't have access to that. That's just Google making sure you're not a bot. That's all that is.
Right. Right. So, yeah, if you have a paranormal experience, if you ever seen a dog man or anything, definitely let us know. Go to warpedrealityparanormal.com and submit your experience. Or you could email us at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail like Al Santariga did at 845-600-0744. Also, I'm going to have Al's information in the show notes too, so you guys could check out everything that he's involved in, because he's awesome. He's awesome, man. And he knows a lot about a lot of this paranormal stuff. So he's definitely an interesting person. I actually got to see him at a convention. It was like a lecture that he did about, UFOs and aliens, last year. And it was excellent, man. He's definitely a very, very good, storyteller. He knows how to tell a story to kind of draw you into it, you know?
Yeah.
And he's a great dude. So definitely visit, all of his links as well as all of ours. Cause we have, you know, like I said, warpedrealityparanormal.com. We have TikToks, Instagram, Facebook groups, and YouTube and everything. So definitely check that out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Check it out. And I'm sure if you have a report, Al would be glad to take that as well. So.
Oh, hey, I want to talk about,
definitely. Have you ever heard about the beast of the LBL? Do you know what the LBL is, Joe?
Long Beach.
Not Long Beach ladies. No. It's the land between the lakes.
And it's okay.
One of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. It's between Kentucky and Tennessee. Absolutely gorgeous, man. Someday I'm going to go there. Just like Ireland, I'm going to get there, man. I'm going to get there. So LBL is an outdoor paradise for campers, hikers, and hunters. For decades, they've been talking about something in those woods there that have been reported over and over again. And this is the story that I was touching about. It's another dogman encounter, but this is the big one because this is the one where tragedy struck. Okay. So reportedly in the 1980s, there was a family that was camping on the northern section of the LBL, and they were found completely slaughtered. We're talking a mom, wow. dad, a sister, a little boy, and a little girl found completely wow. slaughtered. Now officially there are no reports that exist, of course, as they do with these legends. But if you talk to people there, like the rangers and that, they'll tell you it was a bear attack. It happened. It was a bear attack. It was a real thing. But I don't know, because there were witnesses that saw that too. So, you know, we're talking about 170,000 acres of untouched rugged land. You know what I mean? Like, who's to say? Yeah, you could easily hide there, you know? But yeah, apparently they closed down that entire section of the campground after that happened. And, you can see, you can go online to YouTube and see that it is closed down, and there is a section there that you can go through that shows where the light poles used to be in the bathhouses. And it's wow. So they closed it down for some reason. I don't know what reason that was, but yeah, that's a big one there. And the beast of the LBL is a very big story. Everybody there knows it. If you even know anything about Dogman, you've heard of the LBL, and you've heard of the Beast of Bray Road. Those are the two, because, well, they're Beast of Bray Road, they made a movie about. So,
right.
It's a big thing. And then you have South Carolina's Anderson Werewolf, which is another cool one. And it's not too far from me. So the Anderson Werewolf happened in 1945 in Anderson County, South Carolina. Residents reported multiple sightings of a large black animal that stood upright on his hind legs and moved with eerie speed. They described howls in the night and found eviscerated livestock slaughtered with like crazy precision, I guess. It's a big thing here. If you do any digging on South Carolina cryptids, you're going to come up with two things: the Anderson Werewolf and Lizard Man / Bigfoot, because not a lizard man. It's Bigfoot to me. But so these stories are a lot more. They're out there a lot more than you think they are. They just maybe call it something different: a werewolf, you know, whatever, dog man. I mean, you go down to Brazil, Mexico, the werewolf is still very, very big through those areas, you know? So I really think that they're one and the same thing. I really do think that they are. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I definitely do. Like I said before, I believe that it was just an evolution, or just, you know, people didn't have a name for it before. You know, they called it one thing. They were like, oh yeah, well, it's a guy that turns into a wolf. You know, it's got to be, because he's standing on two legs and he's, you know, he has, you know, like a person's kind of figure or whatever, you know, so they kind of attributed it to that. But I definitely believe that they're definitely one and the same as well. I mean, equally as terrifying too. I'll tell you that. I say that Creepy Ken should go out there in a tent and try and see if he could lure the Anderson Dogman out.
And, I would do that.
You would do that.
Yeah, I would do that, but I might shoot it if I see it. Just saying, like, I'm a shoot first kind of guy nowadays, you know, I'm just going to shoot first.
But now let me ask you this. Do you think that, I think actually, and it's funny because I feel like whenever we're talking about stuff on a show, we always end up coming up with another show idea while we're doing a show.
Yeah.
Right. Do you think that the Men in Black also deal with cryptids?
Yeah, I do, to a point. Yeah. I mean, there are accounts of them being with cryptids, you know, seeing crypt. Okay. So there's this really famous encounter that, I interviewed this guy from my previous show, and it was called The Meadow Project. Really cool book. If you haven't read it, it's kind of a hotspot, like Skinwalker Ranch would be, only it's here in the South. This Meadow Project is kind of like the, I guess the Skinwalker Ranch of the Southeast. And there are reports of cryptids, you know, same thing with Skinwalker Ranch, only the researchers there have been approached by Men in Black several times while they've been researching, which is pretty crazy. But yeah, I think that they definitely are interested. And, you know, there is, we need to do an episode on Men in Black, 'cause there's so many theories.
Exactly. That's what I was talking about. Like, that's why I was like, you know what? I'm like, as I was about to say that comment, I'm like, yeah, we should do a whole episode on Men in Black.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Because I think Men in Black have really fallen off in the last few years. You don't hear too much about them anymore, but what you do hear about, what did I say that weird? What you do hear about, what you did? Yeah, God,
South Carolina thing going on, man.
Damn it, boy.
What happened to Ohio?
Boy, howdy. You know, I don't know what to say, man, but no, they've kind of fallen off, but every time one of these things fall off, something else picks up, you know, going back to the fae folk, the aliens, the werewolf, you know. So Men in Black have kind of fallen off in the last, what, 10, 15 years. You don't hear much about them anymore.
No.
But what you do hear about is Black Eyed Kids quite a bit. And they're equally as strange and weird. So what if they're kind of the new Men in Black? You know, there's so many theories out there, man.
See, I think that they're a bit different, though. I mean, they're similar in ways, but I feel like that's another show right there. Yeah. A whole show on Black Eyed Children. The Black Eyed Children, I feel, are more demonic. Whereas to me, I mean, we'll do more research so we can have, you know, full shows on these things. But to me, I feel like the Men in Black are, if you ask me, I feel like they're extraterrestrials that are coming down, because all of the weird things that people have said about them, they dress the same, they look the same, they have the same kind of mannerisms, you know, and everything. And they're not quite right. You know, they're slightly off, or it's almost like they're dressed in like 50s garb, you know, like in the suits with the hats and all this stuff. And it's just,
well, that's when they started really coming forward, was in the 50s and 60s, right. You know, so that makes sense.
Right. You know, so, I mean, I feel like that they're different in that sense, but at the same way, I do get what you mean by the similarities between them as well. You know, where there's just like something off about both of those parties, you know, if you want to say.
Men in Black are really fascinating. I mean, the stories of Men in Black are really fascinating. And I think that you'll find a lot of investigators out there that say they do run into the Men in Black while they're investigating, you know, cryptids. And, you know, to further put it out there about how diverse that is, and the Men in Black are, and cryptids are, you could make an argument that, you know, there's often, well, like with Bigfoot, there's often UFO sightings in and around or at the same time as Bigfoot, right? And I think that's really the same thing with dogmen. In a lot of times when you have those UFO encounters, you have the Men in Black follow, you know? So I really believe that all of these things are somehow connected some way. All this strangeness, this high strangeness, is connected in one way or another.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do too. You know, whether it's alternate realities or, you know, or something. Yeah. I feel like they're all connected at the same way, you know, kind of like the, you know, how that show, The X-Files, was, you know, where like everything was kind of connected, but, you know, but she was, you know, the agents were always going after all these different things, you know. I actually never seen a full episode of The X-Files, though. So I'm kind of talking crap.
So I caught it late. I caught it about 10 years ago and was like, all right, let me watch this shit. And then I was like, oh, this is good, because it really touches on a lot of stuff that we talk about. Like, they really do justice to that, you know, like, so it is really, really interesting. But then, you know, I fell off because the 90s cheese.
Yeah.
I have a hard time with the 90s cheese in 2023, you know,
like, I mean, I liked Supernatural also. I thought Supernatural was cool because I like the shows when it's something different every single show, you know, and Supernatural is always something completely different in every show. And I enjoyed that one. But it was just like, there was like 50 episodes in season one, like 30 episodes. Like, I can't keep up with that. I can't. I don't have, number one, I don't have the attention span. And number two, I don't have the time to keep up with that many episodes, you know.
Well, that's another show that faintly touched on a lot of the paranormal, you know. It faintly touched on it, and it got a lot of stuff right, but it also got a lot of stuff wrong. I guess you could say the same thing for The X-Files, but it got more right than it got wrong, I think. So, yeah, I had that same problem with Supernatural. Like, I have really hard time with television when, man, you got to use those one-liners on me, you know, that I can't do the one-liners. Like, literally, I can't take them. Like, if you come up to me and you start doing one-liners at me, I'm going to laugh for about 2 minutes and I'm going to punch you in the mouth because just shut up. Like, I hate it. Like, nobody talks like that in real life.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, that's why I couldn't do like NYPD Blue. I can't do any of I can't do Yellowstone. I can't do any of those shows because it's like, okay, was that necessary? All right. Is that necessary to throw this one-liner in there, this cheese? Do you have to have that? I think
all of them did. Like, even like the Law and Order has always had like that last, it was always like the last line of the episode. Like, they would have like these one-liner things, you know, at the end of the episode of like a Law and Order. And you're like, okay, well, you didn't have to say that. Like, that was uncalled for, you know?
That's why I appreciate shows like, you know, I mean, two of the best shows ever written were The Sopranos and Breaking Bad. You know, I mean, just amazing shows. Those two shows were just amazing. They did it without the cheese, you know, without I call it the cheese, but it's really just the network cheesiness to catch people.
See, I'm a terrible Italian because I had only seen one Sopranos episode and it was the last one. It was last episode. Was the only.
I quit. I'm done. I'm done with this show. I'm done. I'm done.
How are
you from New York?
I know. Oh, I just, you know what it is? I'm like, I never liked, you know, because I'm Italian, but I'm not the typical New York Italian, you know? So I'm like, it pisses me off to see those stereotypes.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's real.
Yeah. No, I know. I know it's real. I mean, I've visited some of these houses where I used to live and stuff, like in front of them and everything. You know, I never seen any of The Sopranos and I started watching Breaking Bad. I'm going to get into Breaking Bad because the first few episodes that I watched, I really, really enjoyed. And I think that dude, Jesse, is hysterical. At least, I mean, I don't know where he goes after the first few episodes, but the first like three or four episodes, he's funny as hell. That dude.
Dude, it's one of the best written shows I've ever watched in my life. Like, that show is so good. It's so good.
I mean, if you ask me, the greatest show of all time, I mean, from what I've seen so far, I don't know if anything could top Sons of Anarchy. That show is phenomenal.
So, yeah, it is, but go back and watch it. It didn't age well. You know what I mean? It didn't, for me at least. I go back and watch it and I'm like, oh, this is cheesy. But I've watched that. I've watched the entire series twice, you know?
Right.
It's a good series, but it just is.
And I think it ended perfectly. I think it couldn't have ended any better than it ended. You know,
that's how I feel about The Sopranos. Mm. You know, I think it left it all out there, you know, like it let you decide what happened, you know.
I just remember the pushback when that came out and people like, oh, I don't understand. How could you just like go to black like that? You don't know the ending. People were pissed, man.
Yeah.
People were pissed.
Well, it has a cult following, you know, that Breaking Bad, they have a cult following, you know, like it just, it's hard when you don't give people closure, you know, I mean, kind of like, you know, the paranormal stuff, people want closure and that's why we keep going after it. You know, we keep looking into it.
Yeah. I mean, but like me and you always say, like, it's okay to not have closure. You know, it's okay to say like, well, there's no explanation for it. You know, like, I think that's okay. You know, some of the things. Yeah. I mean, for me, I'm okay with that. You know, some of the things you just can't explain okay, you don't have to come up with an explanation just to come up with an explanation, just to make you feel better, you know? And that's just how I've always been about things. So just like, well, all right, well, you know, I saw a car floating across the room in front of me. Well, I can't explain that. You know, I'm not going to go around and try and do like, you know, all sorts of scientific crap just to try and figure it out. No,
I want to jump in there. You just perfectly explained, like in dictionary form, a theoretical scientist.
Nice.
Yeah, you did. You said giving people closure just to give them closure.
Right.
When just making something up to give them closure for it doesn't actually, you know, it may not be, you don't even know if it's the right or the wrong answer. You know what I mean? It's just, you're giving them an answer that they take. That's what theoretical science does. You know, they don't know. They just base it on theory. So I knew I would touch that theoretical scientist stuff again. See?
Yeah, man. I mean, there's a lot to it, but going back to like this dog man and this werewolf thing, I mean, it's fascinating and it's frightening at the same time. And actually, Al Santariga, I talked to him like, listen, man, like anytime you need somebody to tag along, I'm with it, you know, cause I don't live too far from him. And like I said, I drive on that same road where he saw the dog man, the first encounter. I drive on that road every single night to go to work. So I'm right near there. I'm like, listen, I'll go on any investigation. And I promise you guys that if I go on any investigation with him, I'm going to report back to you guys or try and make, you know, maybe I'll make a little live somewhere or a little video somewhere possibly. But, you know, Joe, I'm all
eaten by the dog man.
I just don't want to get kidnapped by the dog man. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm kind of a, you know, not to put too much disclosure out there. I'm kind of a werewolf underneath this shirt, man. So I don't want them to think that like I'm like a dog kid, a dog child,
dog kid. Well, let's end with this. Are you a comic book movie guy? Do you like the MCU and all that?
I like them. Now, mind you, I am extremely far behind on all of them.
Yeah, okay. Me too.
I've never been a comic book person. So like when people say, oh, well, that's not like the comic, I have no idea. I never read comics, you know, when I was a kid.
I'm a nerd with comics.
See, I never really read comics.
All right.
But so I do. Oh, I'm sorry to cut you off. I just want to say I do like those movies, but I am extremely far behind on them. I've seen all of the Avengers recently. I just watched all of the Avengers movies. And I've seen like sporadic ones, you know, Captain America, the first one. I've seen Iron Man 1 and 2. I've never seen any of the Thor movies, you know, so it's here and there, but yeah, go ahead, man.
All right. So if you were to pick a superpower, one superpower, you can have one superpower. And no, I'm going to preface this with, I've put a lot of thought into this because I'm a nerd. What would your one superpower be? It could be anything, dude. It doesn't even have to be an existing superpower. It could just be any superpower. What would it be, Joe?
Okay. Now, am I going to get judged if I say the superpower?
No. Of course not.
Okay, because this superpower could mean anything, okay?
All right.
Okay. Invisibility.
Invisibility, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
I like it. You know, you could, yeah. I'm not going to elaborate, ready? But yeah, go ahead.
You ready for this?
Go.
I would shit other people's pants.
Is that really? Wait, that's a made up superpower, though. I thought we were. Dude,
listen to me now. Let me put this out there. What else beats that? Have you ever shit your pants? Because I have, and it renders you useless. Like, you can do nothing when you shit your pants. You clench up. You're like, oh. Right. And then you walk off all funny and you're like, oh God, I just shit my pants. And you go clean up. So you tell me what superpower beats that. Because if you can find one, even invisibility, you're invisible, but I'm going to shit your pants. Now it's not invisible anymore. Now I can see you. You're in trouble. Oh, you know what, man. I mean? Man, I would become a super villain at that point because I would just be having so much fun shitting people's pants that I would just be going, I even got a name, Joe. You want to know my name?
You even have a name picked out? Go ahead.
I do.
What is it?
The Fecal Phantom. The Fecal Phantom.
Oh, my God.
It's me, dude. Dude, come on, man. You tell me, Thor would not be able to pick up his hammer if I shit his pants. He'd be like, oh, right? You, dude, you know that happens. You know, there is no man our age that has not shit his pants. So you know that as soon as that happens, you're like, you just freeze and you go, you make this noise. You go, oh, right? Right? You're like, oh, God.
Listen, I never have after two or three times, maybe, in my past.
At this point, for me, it just slides out. My O-rings are gone, man. It just goes.
Listen, nobody's listening to this show anymore anyway. No, I don't think anybody.
No. So. No, I mean, like, it's true, though. At this point, I'm just like, oh, there it went again. I guess I'll go get a shower and change, you know? Like, I'm just saying, though. I mean, I want you to take a long, hard, maybe not a long, hard thing. Let me rephrase that.
Yeah, rephrase that.
Just think about that superpower once. Like, there's no way anybody can beat that. There's
That's true. That is true. Well, it's the best. Lex Luthor would not be able to go against that. That's for sure.
No, dude. I'd shit his pants before he could do anything. I mean, then he's, you know. Like,
and I mean, even Superman has tights. I mean, that would be super uncomfortable for Superman.
It would be so bad. It'd be bad. Yeah, that would be super uncomfortable.
And they're red. I mean, that's, yeah.
And so help me God, if you're a superhero with a helmet on, you're really screwed, dude. Like, I mean, really, it's going to fog up. It's going to be bad, man. I'm just saying, like, I don't know, man.
What do you guys think? If you had if you could have any superpower, real or made up, what would it be? You know, try and make it PG-13. I'll give you PG-13.
I'll tell you what, I challenge anybody out there to beat my superpower. And don't tell me your name is Enema Man or anything like that, because I'm not going to accept that. That just doesn't work. Like, what are you going to do? Give yourself an enema before you face me?
What about one of our favorite movies that we talk about? What about Neutered Man? That's a big one. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Neutered Man. I love that
That's
movie.
Right. That's right.
No, it actually isn't a big one because his name is Neutered Man. But we've gone way off the rails on this, but it's been fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, we had to make up for some time anyway. So what the hell?
Yeah.
No, but if anybody had any paranormal experiences or anything, yeah, definitely let us know. 845-600-0744. Check out our website, warpedrealityparanormal.com. And I hope you guys enjoyed this show, man. And don't mess with Ken, because I'm not sure if he actually has that superpower or not. So I'm not going to piss him off.
Well, I mean,
because you never know.
If I do have that power, I only use it on myself. So accidentally a lot. No, I'm joking. I really don't do that a lot. I just made it out to sound like
just a couple times. Just couple a few times
a day. You know, not a lot.
Right.
Not a lot at all.
Not a lot. All right, everybody. So thanks for joining us. And we hope we check in with us next week after this craziness.
If you don't, I'm going to shit your pants. So just put it that way.
All right. On that note, thanks again to Al Santariga for sending in that voicemail. That was awesome, man. And I can't wait to talk to you more. And I'm going to have you on again, man. We're going to have you on again so you could talk to Ken and everything too. Because, you know, like I always say, you're an awesome guest and you're a friend of mine, you know, now and stuff. And yeah, we're definitely going to have you on to have a full show with you and have a good conversation. So with that being said, everybody, thanks for joining us and we'll see you next time. Have a good night. Later.
Later.
Thank you for listening to the Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast, and thank you to all of my guests and contributors that help make this show possible. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, please check out our show notes for all social media links of this show and some of our friends. The Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast, uncovering the unseen.